Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I floated through the narrow corridor of the ISS, the hum of machinery reminding me of the delicate job of keeping us alive. I'm the communications officer on this mission. My job is to monitor and interpret the data flowing in from our new array of radio telescopes. These telescopes, bolted to the exterior of the station, are designed to pick up the faint signals of the cosmos, the distant pulsars that might reveal secrets of the universe. Life on the ISS is a dance of precision and routine. Each night, I'd strap myself into my sleeping bag, floating gently in my small sleeping quarters. The weightlessness was a constant reminder that Earth and its gravity were hundreds of kilometers below. Breakfast was always a rehydrated meal, eaten quickly before the day's tasks began. My crewmates and I moved through our routines with efficiency, every action measured to conserve energy and resources. Becoming part of the ISS crew was driven by a need to feel something beyond in my life. The raw, unfiltered experiences of space offered an escape I craved. In the vast silence of the cosmos, I found temporary solace, a way to immerse myself in something greater than me. Every day, I would float to the cupola, the observation module, my favorite spot on the ISS. The panoramic view of Earth below, rotating slowly, made me reflect on the life I had left behind. The new telescopes were my primary focus, and I spent countless hours analyzing the data they captured. The telescopes were sophisticated pieces of technology, designed to detect the rhythmic pulses of neutron stars, pulsars. These dying stars emitted beams of radiation that could be detected across vast distances. My role was to interpret these signals, to sift through the data and find meaning in the chaos. The ISS's communication systems were our lifeline, relaying back data to mission control and ensuring we remain connected to Earth. Our communication relied heavily on the TDRS, Tracking and Data Relay Satellites Network, a constellation of geostationary satellites that allowed almost continuous communication with Earth. Any interruption in this network could mean delayed transmissions, which is why we meticulously monitored our systems. Working so far away from safety meant every task was a balance of precision and improvisation. Maintenance tasks ranged from routine system checks to unexpected repairs. One day, I assisted the engineer, Mia, in repairing a malfunctioning oxygen generator. Floating beside her, tools tethered to our belts, we worked in silent coordination. Mia's calm, methodical approach was reassuring, her hands steady as she adjusted the delicate components. The oxygen generator, part of the Environmental Control and Life Support System, or ECLSS for short, was crucial for converting exhaled carbon dioxide back into breathable oxygen using a process called electrolysis. A malfunction here could mean a critical situation, but Mia's expertise kept us safe. In addition to monitoring radio telescopes, I also managed the station's Ku-band communication system. This system provided high-speed data links to Earth, essential for transmitting the vast amounts of scientific data we collected daily. Any anomalies in these systems required immediate attention to avoid data loss and ensure continuous communication with mission control. In the evenings, We gathered in the small communal area, a makeshift living room where we shared meals and stories. The captain, Jess, would recount her early days in the space program, her voice filled with the passion that had driven her here. Daniel, our scientist, often discussed his latest experiments, his enthusiasm for microgravity research infectious. These moments of camaraderie were precious, reminders that we were not just colleagues, but a team bound by a mission in isolation. However, despite the camaraderie, the solitude of space had a way of creeping in. Late at night, I'd find myself alone in the observation module, staring out at the infinite expanse. The silence was profound, the stars unblinking in the darkness. It was during these quiet moments that I felt the weight of my own isolation most acutely, a contrast to the bustling life I had left behind on Earth. The work on the ISS was demanding, but it provided a structure that helped. Each task, each experiment, was a step towards understanding the universe and my place within it. The telescopes, with their promise of discovery, were both a challenge and a refuge. They allowed me to lose myself in the vastness of space, to focus on something beyond the confines of my own mind. Each day began with a gentle nudge from my watch, signaling the start of my shift. I floated through the narrow corridor of the communications module, where the day's data from a new array of radio telescopes awaited. I started by downloading the latest batch of data. The telescopes equipped with ultra-sensitive receivers captured the rhythmic pulses of distant neutron stars. The data streamed through the ISS's S-band and Ku-band communication links, ready for analysis. The software hummed as it processed the information, filtering out cosmic noise and highlighting significant patterns. With the data processing underway, I moved on to the daily system checks. The communication system always needed to be in top condition to maintain our link with Earth. I ran diagnostics on the antennas, ensuring they were precisely aligned with the target pulsars. Each day followed a similar pattern. I'd float into the communications module, download the data, and begin the analysis. I logged the observations, noting any minor deviations. In the afternoon, I joined Mia to check in the environmental control and life support system. We worked in silent coordination. The oxygen generator was operating flawlessly. Another day, another batch of data. As I downloaded the latest transmissions, I noticed a faint, almost imperceptible anomaly. Easy to dismiss as background noise, space is filled with various sources of electromagnetic interference after all. I logged it as such and continued with my routine. The analytical software filtered through the data, isolating the pulsar signals. During the midday system checks, I recalibrated the antennas. It was meticulous work, but necessary to maintain the integrity of our data. The faint anomaly lingered in my mind, but I set it aside, focusing at the tasks at hand. That evening, during our briefing, I considered mentioning the anomaly, but decided against it. It was too vague a source, and the crew had enough to worry about. It seemed too insignificant to warrant their attention. It was just a minor blip in the data, nothing to be concerned about. The day after began like the others. I floated to the communications module, downloaded the data, and began my checks. However, the faint anomaly was still there. A persistent whisper among the rhythmic pulses. I decided to amplify the gain on the receiver, curious to see if the pattern would become clearer. The signal grew more distinct, its rhythmic quality more pronounced. I ran it through the software again, hoping to identify its source and set off the data package. However, the next day, the anomaly was slightly more pronounced. It was still faint, but its consistent presence made me uneasy. I amplified it further and listened closely. What I heard sent a chill down my spine. It was a subtle change, but amidst the cosmic noise, the anomaly seemed almost deliberate. I checked the equipment for faults, running diagnostics on the receivers and data processors. Everything was functioning within normal parameters. I recalibrated the antennas again, ensuring they were precisely aligned, but the anomaly persisted. The spectral analysis revealed slight modulations in the signal that suggested it wasn't entirely random. There were hints of structure, though the details were too vague to decipher. I captured a segment of the data and ran it through a pattern recognition algorithm, hoping to decode it, but the results were inconclusive. Despite the anomaly's persistent presence, it didn't seem important enough to report just yet, just enough to document. The data was too ambiguous, and I needed more of a sample size to finalize a pattern. It also could have easily been a false positive or a technical issue. Still, it gnawed at the back of my mind, a tiny splinter of unease that I couldn't quite shake. As the days passed, I found myself thinking about the anomaly more and more. Late at night, I would do my routine of floating alone in the observation module. The stars, once a source of wonder, now seemed indifferent, their silence amplifying thoughts of the anomaly that echoed in my mind. No matter what I did, the anomaly persisted, its presence gnawing at the edges of my thoughts. It kept happening each time I pulled readings, and Mission Control did not contact us about it. Determined to understand it, I used the ISS's analytical software to delve deeper. Now that I had enough samples to try extract a pattern, the software, designed for filtering out cosmic noise and identifying significant patterns, now took on a new level of importance. I ran the anomaly through more complex analyses. I began to notice patterns that were disturbingly intricate. As I was analyzing the data, I noticed the anomaly coincided with minor electrical disturbances on the ISS. The lights flickered, and the ventilation system momentarily sputtered. I initially thought these were a possible cause for the anomaly, but when the pattern repeated, it was impossible to ignore. I documented these incidents meticulously, noting the exact times and conditions under which they occurred. During one analysis session, the signal's modulation suggested intelligence, structured, deliberate, almost like a coded message. I captured the data and ran it through advanced decryption algorithms, but the results were baffling. The patterns hinted at a form of communication, a concept both thrilling and terrifying. I hesitated before to share my findings with the crew, but I felt I had enough to present with the group. When I finally did, the reception was less than enthusiastic. The captain, Jess, listened patiently but remained skeptical. "It's probably interference from another satellite," she suggested. Mia, ever the pragmatist, ran diagnostics on the station systems, attributing the disturbances to possible minor equipment malfunctions. Daniel was the most intrigued, but still cautious. "It could be a new type of cosmic phenomenon," he theorized, though he wasn't convinced it was anything more than an unknown natural occurrence. Days passed, and the anomaly continued to manifest. I monitored it closely, noting every fluctuation and pattern. The crew's skepticism began to wear on me. Each time I mentioned the anomaly, I saw the doubt in their eyes, and it made me question my own sanity about all of this. Then, while running a routine check, the anomaly coincided with a more significant power surge. The lights flickered violently, and the ISS's communication systems briefly went offline. When the systems came back up, I noticed something new. A more pronounced modulation in the signal, almost like a sound trying to break through. While I was analyzing the batch of data, the power surge happened again. This time, the anomaly was unmistakably deliberate. I amplified the signal and listened intently. The modulation was clearer, almost forming sounds, though they were still too distorted to understand. As I was documenting this, Mia called out from another module. "Alex, are you hearing this?" she asked, her voice tinged with confusion. I floated over to her workstation, where she had isolated a similar signal on her equipment. It was different from what I'd been monitoring, yet eerily similar in its rhythmic structure. The crew gathered around as we played the recordings side by side. The similarities were undeniable, but the source remained a mystery. Jess frowned, her skepticism all but gone, replaced with concern. That evening, during our briefing, the mood was tense. We discussed the anomalies in detail, debating their significance and possible causes. Daniel suggested we run a coordinated analysis, combining data from all our systems to see if we could triangulate the source. We tried it, and the coordinated effort revealed even more disturbing patterns. The anomalies were not just random interference. They were consistent and seemed to be increasing in frequency and intensity. We decided to send a detailed report to Mission Control, hoping for some clarification or guidance. At night, as I floated in the observation module, the lights flickered again, more violently than ever. The entire station shuddered as if hit by an external force. My heart raced as I made my way to the communications module. The anomaly was now a deafening signal, almost forming coherent words. Suddenly, Mia's voice crackled over the intercom, filled with panic. I saw myself outside, she gasped. Without a suit. Her words sent a chill. Panic spread quickly among the crew. It wasn't just affecting the ship. It was affecting us. If Mia's hallucination was linked to the anomaly, this posed a serious threat to all of us. The atmosphere aboard the ISS immediately shifted from skeptical curiosity to palpable fear. And things only got worse. The signals began to invade my dreams. At first, they were vague, unsettling images of the stars. But soon, they grew more vivid and disturbing. I saw visions of my past, reliving moments of loneliness and loss. The dreams then twisted into dark, violent scenarios where the ISS was overrun by an unknown force. Shadowy figures floated through the station, whispering my name, their faces indistinguishable, but their presence suffocating. I woke up in cold sweats. Reality was blurring. I heard the whispers in the quiet hum of the station, in the white noise of the ventilation system. My grip on my sanity began to slip. Simple tasks became monumental challenges as I struggled to focus, my mind constantly drifting. The crew noticed my deteriorating state. "You need to rest," Jess urged, her concern evident. Yet she also showed signs of mental decay. "You're pushing yourself too hard." But rest was impossible. The whispers had become a constant companion, invading the time I set aside to try recover, their presence growing stronger, more invasive. One particular night, I dreamt that the ISS was falling apart. The walls cracked and the station's structural integrity failed. As I floated helplessly through the disintegrating module, the whispers grew deafening, a cacophony of voices screaming my name. I woke up gasping for breath, the vividness of the dream lingering like a shadow over my consciousness. The boundaries between my waking life and my dreams continued to blur. Each day felt like a descent further into madness. The anomaly at the center of my unraveling psyche. No matter how much I wanted to stay away, I had to keep logging data. This needed to be studied. I was caught in a web of fear and an insatiable need to understand the signal that seemed to hold my very sanity in its grasp. The anomaly grew ever present. The electrical disturbances and unsettling dreams had become a constant, gnawing at my sanity and the ship. One night, while analyzing more data, trying to figure everything out, I intercepted a clear and direct message through the ISS's communication system. The words were distorted, but unmistakable. "We were here before you. You don't belong." My heart raced as I replayed the message, trying to make sense of it. The modulation of the signal was complex, layered with patterns that suggested intelligence far beyond our understanding. As I focused on the message, vivid hallucinations began to flood my mind. I saw a different world, one that existed long before humans had ventured into space. And eyes. Many eyes. In these visions, I witnessed colossal structures floating through the void, inhabited by entities whose forms defied comprehension. Everything watching me, sentient or not. Their technology looked ancient yet advanced, blending seamlessly with the fabric of space itself. The entities communicated through the same rhythmic pulses that had been haunting me, their messages a chilling warning of a forgotten past and an imminent threat. The ISS felt like a fragile bubble in the vastness of space, surrounded by the remnants of a civilization that once dominated the solar system. The message echoed in my mind, reinforcing the sense of impending doom. "You don't belong." The ISS systems began to fail catastrophically. The lights flickered violently, casting eerie shadows that danced along the walls. The life support systems, which are crucial for maintaining breathable air and stable temperature, started to malfunction. The oxygen levels fluctuated, and the CO2 scrubbers struggled to keep up. As I floated to the station, all hands on deck, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Eyes on me from behind, no matter how I turned. The telescopes, once instruments of discovery, now seemed like beacons drawing in an unseen force. The comm system crackled with static, punctuated by whispers that grew louder and more insistent. I saw shadowy figures in the corner of my vision, their forms flickering like faulty holograms. They whispered to me, their voices blending with the rhythmic pulses of the anomaly. The boundary between reality and hallucination dissolved, leaving me in a state of perpetual terror. I sped toward the life support module, hoping to stabilize the systems. The console displayed erratic readings, fluctuating oxygen levels, spikes in CO2, and temperatures swinging wildly. I initiated emergency protocols, overriding the automatic controls to manually regulate the life support systems. My fingers flew all over the interface, adjusting parameters in a desperate attempt to restore stability. Despite my efforts, the whispers persisted, growing more aggressive. I felt their presence closing in, urging me to open the airlock and let them in. The airlock controls, normally unresponsive without a deliberate command, flickered ominously, ready to be used without any of the routine procedures. I backed away, the urge to comply with the whispers warring with my instincts for self-preservation. I floated to the observation module to see if anything was actually outside, or if this was all just in my head, or worse, in the ship. The view of the Earth below, usually a source of comfort, now felt like a reminder of our isolation from safety. No help would come, or could come if we asked. The stars outside seemed to pulse with a malevolent light, the silence mocking my isolation. As I stared out into the void, the hallucinations intensified. I saw the ancient entities, their forms looming over the ISS, their technology intertwining with ours. They reached out with tendrils of energy, probing the station's defenses. I could feel their intent, a dark curiosity mixed with a sense of territoriality. The communication system flared to life again, broadcasting the same chilling message. We were here before you. You don't belong. The words reverberated through the station, each repetition driving me further into madness. The shadows whispered suggestively, urging me to surrender, to open the airlock and let them in. I knew I was losing my grip on reality. The once familiar environment of the ISS had become a nightmarish labyrinth, filled with ghostly figures and sinister whispers. The station's systems continued to fail, each malfunction reinforcing the sense of impending catastrophe. The shadows closed in around me. The whispers grew louder, more insistent, filling my mind with a relentless chant. You don't belong. You don't belong. My willpower waned, the urge to open the airlock becoming almost irresistible. It all had reached a deafening crescendo, pushing me to the edge. In a desperate bid to end the torment, I floated to the communications module, my mind racing with a single, desperate plan. Disconnect the telescopes. I hesitated for a moment, my fingers hovering over the console. Disconnecting the telescopes would mean losing valuable data, potentially cutting off a significant part of our mission. But the station was falling apart, and the crew's lives were at stake. I had no other choice. Jess, I need to disconnect the telescopes, I said, my voice trembling. She looked at me, a mix of fear and confusion in her eyes. Are you sure that will stop this? It's our only shot. Jess paused in thought, but knew it was our only desperate attempt. She reluctantly nodded. I initiated the sequence to power down the telescopes. The system protested with error messages and warnings about the loss of critical data. I overrode each of them, my hands shaking as I worked through the steps. As I reached the final command, the whispers grew frantic, as if they were trying to stop me. Here goes nothing, I whispered to myself, and disconnected the final telescope. The silence was immediate and profound. The whispers ceased instantly, and the station systems, which had been on the brink of total failure, began to stabilize. The lights stopped flickering, and the life support systems returned to normal parameters, and the communication systems hummed back to life with a steady, reassuring tone. Our shoulders rolled like an immense weight had been lifted. The crew, though shaken, began to regain control. Mia worked to reset the environmental controls, while Jess and Daniel checked the communication links to mission control. The pervasive sense of doom lifted, replaced by a cautious optimism. We filed a detailed incident report to Mission Control, outlining the strange anomalies and the subsequent system failures. The response was swift, but cryptic. The incident was to remain classified. No further details were to be shared, even among ourselves. The message was clear. What happened on the ISS would remain a mystery, shrouded in secrecy. Back to my normal routine, I found myself drawn to the observation module, a habit that was ingrained in me. The stars outside that relaxed me before now seemed to pulse with a malevolent light, a stark reminder of the ordeal we had just survived. As I floated there, staring out into the infinite expanse of space, a deep, unsettling fear settled into my bones. The silence was almost too perfect. The calm after a storm filled with an eerie sense of anticipation. The crew tried to return to their routines, but the experience had left us all deeply affected. Jess maintained a stoic front, but I could see the haunted look in her eyes. Mia threw herself into her work, her hands never quite as steady as before. Daniel's enthusiasm had dimmed, replaced by a quiet, contemplative demeanor. As for me, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. The stars, once a source of wonder and inspiration, now seemed like silent sentinels, waiting. The message we had intercepted. "We were here before you. You don't belong," echoed in my mind, a chilling reminder of our encounter. I was filled with the weight of unanswered questions and unresolved fears. I was constantly on edge, always feeling like the whispers could return at any moment, perhaps with even greater force. The uncertainty of what lay beyond the veil of space left us with a gnawing sense of dread. I stared out at the cosmos, my mind replaying the events over and over, searching for clues or signs that we had missed. The ISS, once a beacon of human achievement, now felt like a fragile outpost on the edge of an abyss, the first point of contact if anything were to come. Ultimately, I couldn't escape the haunting feeling that we had merely glimpsed the surface of a far greater mystery. The stars, with their silent, pulsing light, seemed to mock my attempts to understand. The whispers had ceased, but their presence lingered, a shadow over my thoughts. In the end, I was left with the unsettling realization that our place in the universe was far from secure. The entities we had encountered, whether real or imagined, had made their point clear. We were intruders in a realm beyond our understanding, and I carried a fear that they might return with greater force and clearer intent. The ISS returned to normal operations, but I knew that things would never be the same. The experience had left an indelible mark on all of us, and I couldn't help but wonder what else lay hidden in the vast, uncharted depths of space, waiting for us to find it, or for it to find us.
Thank you.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.